Buffalo Wild Wings in Crystal Lake and Algonquin are proud to sponsor the Northwest Herald High School Football Podcast. Stop by after this week's game to enjoy their award-winning traditional or boneless wings spun in 16 signature sauces or 5 dry seasonings. Buffalo Wild Wings also offers a full menu including salads, burgers, wraps, and much more. See you after the game at Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm Northwest Herald sports writer Joe Stevenson, along with sports writer Sean Hammond. And Sean, I needed to reword the first commercial there from Buffalo Wild Wings because there's no games to stop by.
There's no more. What do we do now?
Basketball, wrestling, I don't know, features, other things. But it was a thrilling end to the season.
It was.
We were in Champaign. We got to enjoy Johnsburg playing in the 4A state championship game Friday night. The Skyhawks lost to Rochester 38-14. And then we saw Prairie Ridge play for the 6A title on Saturday afternoon against Sacred Heart Griffin. The Wolves won 48-17. Sean, this was your first season in the McHenry County area. What are your impressions of your first season of football here?
Man, what a fun ride it's been. I think it was August 8th might have been the first day of practice. That feels like a long time ago, and this has been a fun 14-plus weeks of football. And it's been fun to watch these teams. You know, we had a couple of teams make it all the way to the end, and that's exciting for this area.
Yeah, you know, our football around here, Sean, has usually been pretty good. It's traditionally strong. I hate to tell you, it might not always be this good, but it's pretty good.
I'm looking forward to next year already and see what we have in store.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just to recap a little bit, we had 6 teams reach a quarterfinals. That's the first time that's ever happened in the area. 4 Fox Valley Conference team reach a quarters. That's first time also. And it was the 4th time that we've had 2 teams play for – multiple teams play for titles on the last weekend of the season. So a banner year for football around here. We thought it was going to be pretty good.
We did, yes.
And it's nice that it's nice when you pump things up a little bit and you're not let down. They make you look like you know what you're talking about.
They lived up to it, definitely.
Yeah. So, well, let's start with a little bit about the 4A game the other night with Johnsburg. It's first time playing for a state title in any sport. And what did you think of that game Friday?
The biggest impression to me is how good that Rochester offense was. They looked like a college team running that spread offense and throwing the ball all over the place. And you don't see that a lot at the 4A level. And that's one of the things Coach DeBuff said after the game, that you don't see many teams doing that in 4A.
Yeah, not that well, that's for sure. And they were, the Cox brothers, Deontay and Avante, were really good. I was really impressed with the quarterback, Nick Baker.
Yes.
When Johnsburg did get a little bit of pressure on him, he was able to just scoot around and run a few steps and find some space or just take off running. I really liked him.
I think he was 18 for 21 in the first half passing, which is pretty good. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Yeah, he was spectacular, and the twins were great as well. You know, I really didn't think Johnsburg was completely outmanned in that game.
No.
I thought the Skyhawks had some chances, didn't you?
They certainly did. I mean, Alex Pete had a good game running the ball when you go back and look at the numbers. And it's unfortunate that Riley Buchanan finished the game with 4 interceptions. I don't think that's that's not a good indication of what type of season he's had, because he's had a great year. But those hurt.
Yeah, they did. And I'm sure the one that he really would like to have back was the one right before the half. That was, you know, it was a 28-14 game, and they call that fake field goal, which was beautiful.
Yes, that was
Connor
a huge
Bell,
play.
The holder, laterals back to Adam Jaco, who you said, I think you had talked to Coach DeBuff, Adam Jaco is probably going to be their quarterback.
Yeah, he had mentioned that in passing a week or two ago, and, Adam Jaco played quarterback as a freshman on the freshman team too.
Okay, and of course he's an outstanding defensive back and kicker, and they lined up for the 51-yarder, and we were wondering, we know he's got a good leg, but they pull off a beautiful fake, throw it to Bryce Jordan, get 21 yards, and had a chance to go in and score, and Nicolo Dolce was open on that play, and Riley said, you know, he threw it just a little bit behind him, and then it got tipped, and Deontay Cox picked it off, and, you know, you wonder, if it's 28-21 going in at halftime, Johnsburg's probably feeling a little better about itself and getting the ball in the second half. And that could have, that might have made a difference. But you're right. Rochester was a tremendous team, great talent. And you can see why the Rockets have won six out of seven championships in 7 years. So, yeah, that was an impressive performance. On a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles this holiday season, Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. Whether you're shopping for the geek in your life or you are that geek, Loot Crate is the best surprise you know is coming. Every month, there's a different theme and new exclusive items you can get only with Loot Crate. Treat yourself every month or give the gift of geeking out to a friend or loved one. They're always watching. They've designed a system to keep you down. They're meddlesome. Hello, friends. It's time for a revolution. Fight the power and pave the way for a brighter tomorrow with December's Rebellious Crate, featuring exclusive items from Assassin's Creed, Mr. Robot, Firefly, and more, including an exclusive Funko Pop figure, our monthly t-shirt and pin. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive this month's crate. And when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. Make sure to head to www.lootcrate.com/Shaw, S-H-A-W, and enter code Shaw to save $3 off any new subscription today. Well, moving on to the 6A game, Sean, it was a rough start for Prairie Ridge.
It was. Samson Evans fumbled on the very first play from scrimmage and fumbled on the first two possessions. The first one actually was probably a small victory for the defense. They held them to a field goal. I think they only picked up a yard on that drive. Mm-hmm. But then the offense comes out again for Prairie Ridge, and Evans fumbles, and Sacred Heart Griffin goes down and makes it 10-0. So right out of the gates, they're down 10 points.
Yeah, and I for Prairie Ridge, I wasn't overly concerned because there's still a lot of time left, and especially that second drive, they were starting to move the ball.
Yeah,
and
they were.
And they were looking good, and then bam, here it comes. They ran that QB counter that was kind of a new wrinkle they tossed in the offense. Samson Evans gets Jeff Jenkins out in front of him, blocking 25 yards downfield. And you started your column off with how that play turned that game around.
Yeah, that was my favorite play of the game. He was, like you said, they were about 20 yards past the line of scrimmage. How often do you see an O lineman out there making a block like that so far from where the play started? And that really opened up the way for Sampson to run the rest of the way to the end zone, and that got their offense going.
I mean, we've known that Jeff Jenkins is a terrific player all season, but what he showed in that first quarter before that play, he almost ran down Jack Bowl, who had picked up the second fumble and ran 66 yards, almost ran him down on the sideline and caught him. And then the way he was out running on that play, you're looking at this guy this is a 240-pound guy or whatever Jeff is. Man, he was really running. He was hauling out.
Yeah,
there.
He was, and he put that kid on the ground.
Yeah, that was, and so Samson goes 80 yards, and from that point on, the Wolves outscored the Cyclones 48-7. This is a 13-0 team that was ranked first in state all season long. They beat them just like they beat people in the conference.
They did, yeah. The defense, the Prairie Ridge defense, was impressive. You know, they didn't give up anything in the second half, and Joe Perhatz and Jacob Oman were all over the place.
Yeah, that defense, hats off to that too. So basically, the defense gave up 7 points. There was one decent drive, and they really a couple of real good running backs, Brian Adams and Tremaine Lee, both real fast guys for Sacred Heart. Just couldn't find much room to run. And yeah, the defense was terrific, and the offense was – you could kind of tell in the second quarter the offense really was getting everything going.
Yeah.
There was a nice rhythm. All the plays they were calling – everything was working.
Samson Evans had another 4 touchdowns, and we were just a little while ago, Joe, you and I were trying to count how many he had in the playoffs, and we couldn't really figure it out without going back and looking at it.
Yeah, we got to 20 in the last 4 games. And I'm not sure what he had against Deerfield, but 20 in the last 4 games. And so, yeah, a little bit about that. Prairie Ridge had 3 guys – Samson Evans, Manny Ibram, and Zach Gobranson, who ended up right at 100. 3 guys with 100 yards rushing.
Not bad.
And set the rushing record for a team in the 6A championship game with 544. And Samson gets the 6A record for an individual with 274. So just impressive numbers. The defense, by the way, held Sacred Heart Griffin to 314 yards. That's a team averaging 50 points a game. That's getting it done.
That's getting it done.
Yeah.
And I thought a key part of this game was how they started the second half, too. I think they were up a touchdown at halftime, and they got Sacred Heart to punt, and then they took the ball and went right downfield and scored another touchdown. And then they forced a fumble on Sacred Heart's next possession. And that really put them in firm control of that game.
Yeah, I think that was Daniel Renteria coming up
yes.
with a big hit on that one. And I'm trying to remember if it was Berg or somebody came up with the
fumble. It might have been Berg. It might have been Pete Berg.
Yeah, Pete Berg. But how would you like to get all of your NFL team's merchandise delivered straight to your doorstep? Check out fanessentials.net. All you do is pick your favorite sports team, and every month you get your team's gear shipped right to your door. They find the sports gear so you don't have to. Each fan box comes packed full with some amazing gear. It makes great gift ideas for sports fans. Prices start at $34.99. Visit fanessentials.net and use promo code Northwest at checkout for 30% off your first month. Visit fanessentials.net to get all the essentials you need. Okay, well, let's recap the season with some of our favorite moments, Sean. What was the best game you saw this season?
For me, it's easy, and I don't really think it's because it's fresh. You could maybe argue that, but I think the Johnsburg-Phillips game was my favorite game that I saw. That had everything. It had, it was an overtime game. It was a Friday night. It was the only game in the state. Everyone's watching. There were a lot of media people there. There were a lot of, that's the first time I've ever seen TV cameras on the sideline at a Johnsburg game, and there was the story of playing for the third year in a row, trying to beat Phillips, and everything just came together. And that was just such a fun atmosphere and a fun game.
It was. And those Johnsburg people, they come out and really back their
team. They had a great crowd.
That place was packed. Yeah, that's a good one. I'm gonna cop out. I'm going to go with a tie. I love the game. A really fun game for me was Carmel. It was week 7. Carmel, a 2-overtime win over Marion Central. Just tremendous excitement going back and forth in the fourth quarter and in overtime. But then, for what was riding on it, the first round game in 8A that I got to see, Huntley beating Stevenson 21-20, that was a really fun game to watch. Eric Mooney had a tremendous night. And I got to hand it to Huntley's defense for coming out and Stevenson scored its first two possessions and looked easy. And I thought Huntley was just going to have to keep scoring with them all night. It was going to be a shootout. The defense really turned it around and played great. So a great road win for Huntley. So I'm going to go with a tie for those two.
A tie. Nobody likes a tie,
yeah.
But those are two great games. Yes,
they were. How about what was a surprise team? What was your surprise team this season?
I would say, and they weren't really a surprise until late in the year, I would say Jacobs, the way they came together at the end of the season. They really struggled through parts of the regular season, and it was just interesting to see the way that they reinvented themselves on the offensive end and changed their style a little bit and came back and made a deep run into the 7A quarterfinals.
Yeah, and they were right there with Fenwick.
They were.
Right down to the end, and we all know what happened with Fenwick next week after that. Fenwick should have been playing for the state title, but it unfortunately didn't work out that way. But, yeah, great finish for Jacobs. I'm going to go with another playoff team for the first time since 2007, McHenry. We didn't really know quite what to expect out of the Warriors this year. We thought that, new coach Nat Zunkel was going to kind of re-energize that program with his tremendous record that he brought in. And, man, those guys really did a great job. They finished fourth in a really good conference, behind Prairie Ridge, Cary Grove, Huntley, and McHenry's fourth and made the playoffs. Got a tough draw in the first round and lost to Batavia. But that was a real feel-good story to see.
It was.
McHenry
it was,
back in.
It was fun to follow them all year, and they really blew our expectations away, I think.
Yeah, they did. And, a couple other teams that I think worthy of mention in this would be Marion Central, because we didn't really know what to expect out of Marion. A lot of new faces there, just because we didn't really know a lot about some of their guys, and in such a tough conference. And then, you know, Woodstock, to get to four wins, almost became playoff eligible.
Yeah, it came down to the last game for them.
Richmond Burton.
Against Richmond Burton. They had a good year, and they really came on strong at the end of the year, too.
How about a player that surprised you this season? Somebody that we didn't know a lot about.
There's so many you could go with. I'm going to, like I did with my team, I'm going to go with a Jacobs player here. Lauren Strickland at running back. He finished the year with 802 yards rushing and 8 touchdowns. And I was just looking at this yesterday, and I didn't even realize he had 5 receiving touchdowns too. He wasn't necessarily on our radar as a running back early in the year. And even midway through the year, you know, he was their starting running back, but you know, they were passing the ball so much, you hardly saw him do much. And then the second half of the year, he had a great second half.
Yeah, he really thrived when they went to that power running game. He was kind of the guy they'd get on the outside, and he could really go. So a good choice there. I'm going to go with we mentioned that we didn't know a lot about some Marion guys, and this guy kind of personifies that. Brian Nemezek, their running back. And before the season, in our preview, I think it was John Wilkinson did that one, and Coach Mike Maloney had said, hey, don't fall asleep on Brian Nemezek. This guy's going to be good. And, you know, they lost a tremendous running back last year, Emmett Peisert. He graduated. He ran for like 1,800 yards. That's a huge loss, but Nemezek kind of helped ease that loss with what he was able to provide. I think he ran for 1,100, 1,200 yards or so for the Hurricanes.
Yeah, the first time I saw them, a win over Joliet Catholic, he came out and ran for 100, and I don't even remember, 115, 120 yards. It might have been more than that. I don't really remember. But I was impressed with him from the first time I saw him. And, he had a really good year.
Yeah, he did. And he's a guy that's coming back as only a junior.
So. As is Strickland, too. He's a junior.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. What was the best play you saw this season? That's a tough one.
This is a tough one. Yeah, I had to do some thinking on this one. I'm going to go with a game that was a while ago. I forget what week it was. It was Jacobs and Crystal Lake South, back-and-forth game. And it might be a little bit biased based on where I was standing, but Chris Katrenik threw a touchdown pass to win the game to John Farisee. And maybe it was because I was right there. I had a great video of it too. But it was just a great play. It wasn't quite the last play of the game, but it might as well have been. It was right at the end. And game-winning touchdown, and it was a beautiful, beautiful throw and a great catch too.
For this one, I'm going to go with – I had a hard time too. You see so many of them, and some of them it's hard to remember details and stuff. But that Huntley-Stevenson game, in the first half, Eric Mooney ran one for about 74 yards, and I kind of lost track of him at one point. There were so many bodies, and the next thing I look up, I see him running down the far sideline in front of the Stevenson bench. I was on the Huntley side, and he's out in the free. I'm like, how did he do that? And I saw a replay later, and it was just, you know, great, showed his great speed, and that was a huge play because they wind up winning that game by a point. So that's going to be my best play.
Another one just popped into my head. Dylan Hess scored a touchdown for Johnsburg. I don't even remember what game it was, but they were down. They had the opponent at their own 5 or 10 or something, and the quarterback threw it right to Dylan Hess on the D line, and it almost seemed like he didn't know what to do. He's like, "Oh my gosh, I got the ball, and there's no one in front of me," and he just took off and scored. That was I don't even remember what game that was, but that just popped into my head right now. That was a great play too.
Yeah, Dylan's the he's a nose tackle, I think, and center for Johnsburg. Yeah. So that's a lineman's dream when a big guy gets to run with the ball like that. It doesn't happen very often, but. So to finish it up, it's a long way off. It's a whole year off, but who has a shot at getting to DeKalb next year where the state championships will be held and Prairie Ridge doesn't count? Because we think Prairie Ridge is going to have a real good shot with Samson Evans, Jeff Jenkins, Jacob Ullman, Joe Burr.
They have so many guys returning.
So many key guys back. Zach Gobranson.
I think they have 10 starters. On offense and defense combined,
yeah.
10 starters coming back.
On the offensive line, including Jenkins.
Yeah. And
they got so many guys back. So PR doesn't count. Who else might we see in DeKalb next year?
Yeah, PR is certainly the favorite of the teams in our area. It's tough. You know, there's so much that goes into this. One of the teams that comes to mind, who I've already mentioned a couple times today, is Jacobs, because they only had 10 seniors. They're going to have to find another quarterback. But, I mean, that's something that a lot of teams have to do. So, I don't know. We'll see. I think they could have a chance, especially based on how they finished the year and the run that they had in the playoffs. Like we mentioned, Strickland is back. John Farisee is back, as is Trevor Fitzsimmons, who's listed as a quarterback on their roster. I don't know if he was in backup duties or not. I never specifically looked for that. Jimmy Wormsley is another guy who they're getting back on the line.
Jimmy Wormsley is really good. And Eric Schutt's back, too.
Yes, right? Eric Schutt.
I love that guy. He was all over the place a couple times I saw him. I mean, he jumps out at you. You saw 72 all over the quarterback, and he was a really good player. So, yeah, I like that call, Sean. And I'm going to go to 5A, and I'm going to go to Marion Central, which made it to the quarterfinals this year after needing to win its last two on the road just to get in. And then, they said they thought they could hang around for a while, and they did, and might have even made it farther had not quarterback Gavin Scott sprained his ankle so badly and missed the Vernon Hills game. They got shut out there 17-0. But Marion's got a lot of guys back. They got Gavin Scott coming back.
Scott's coming back.
Brian Nemezek, quite a few linemen. They lose Jake Ball, who was really good on a defensive end for them and an all-stater. But there's a lot. And Jared Churek, a really good cornerback for them. But they got a lot of other guys back on defense as well. And they got a little taste of it this year, too. So I think Marion can make a good run next year.
They were the second team on my list. Wyatt Awe is another guy who's a senior who's going to be gone. He was key defensively.
Big playmaker for them,
Nick Tegtman is back on the defense. He's a junior. It'll be interesting to see. They got a tough conference. This year they barely got into the playoffs, but then you saw what happened once they did. So it'll be interesting to see what they have schedule-wise and how that shapes up for them.
Yeah.
And another team we should probably talk about, too, is just Johnsburg. They had 10 seniors on offense this year, which is tough. They coming off this deep run, you'd like to pick them and say, hey, they're a favorite to do it, but so many, they're losing so many guys. I think they have six guys returning who started this year.
Yeah, that is going to be a lot of experience there too. A lot of guys. I mean, you're talking about like five or six guys that started for 3 years too.
Yeah.
So that was, a great season for the Skyhawks, and you hope that that's one of those things too. That I think that will also motivate the younger guys. They'll see that and they'll be like, they want to get in the weight room now and they want to work hard. They don't want that to fall off and they want to be where those guys were.
I was at their celebration pep rally the other day, and that's one of the things Coach DeBuff mentioned. This is great for the freshmen and the sophomores and juniors to see and this celebration. And he said something to the effect of, this is now they know where the bar is and this is the goal.
Yeah. And, congratulations to Coach DeBuff, too. I mean, the guy's been there 2 years and he's played for a state championship. That's
his whole staff, too.
Yeah, that was really a great achievement. And I thought it was really neat after the game the other night. One of my favorite quotes was Joe Moore, their lineman, who's been there starter for 3 years on both sides of the line, and he thanked Coach DeBuff for what he had done to get them there. And then he also looked back in the room, and Mike Maloney was up there because Mike Maloney's played high school ball with one of the IHSA guys, Matt Troha, and they played at Joliet Catholic and together, so they're friends. And Mike was down there, and I thought it was kind of neat because Coach Maloney had seen three of their playoff games.
He was around. Yeah,
he's Marion's coach, but those are some of those guys are still kind of his guys too, and that's great. And Moore mentioned him as well because when he came in, they were 0-9, then they were 1-8, and then they were 9-2 2 years ago.
Yeah,
and Mike Maloney got that started, and then Dan DeBuff took over and finished with this outstanding 13-1 season.
That was a cool moment.
It was very neat. So anyway, well, thanks for listening to our podcast all season. We had a lot of fun, and we will be back next August, I guess.
Yeah, yes. Thank you to everyone who has listened. It's been a fun football season.